welcome everyone to the first episode of the English edition of the Bulbacast. This does not mean that this is the English-speaking version of the Bulbacast, since, as many of you know, the normal Bulbacast is spoken in English as well. This is the Bulbacast that deals with the English dub, the English games, everything that's of the Pokemon fandom that's being done here in English. This is the first episode for the week of March 19th, 2006. I'm Pi, as some of you may already know from the normal Bulbacast. With me also is Dogasu.
Hi, everyone.
Pokemon Trainer Lisa.
Hi there.
BGT Family.
Hey, everyone.
And helping us record is TSS Killer.
Hello, everyone.
First up, we have the news for the week, given to us by Dogasu.
This week, 4Kids Entertainment released their fourth quarter and year-end results for the year 2005, and they reported a 60% loss in profits, so it looks like the company's not doing so well. Anime News Network reported that the company has also sold all stocks of the Pokemon franchise, but they didn't really list a source for this news, so this is unconfirmed at the moment. Pokemon Journey Across America Tour will be making its way through the Coronado Center in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Saturday, March 25th, 2006. In scheduling news, Kids WB will be airing two new episodes this weekend. The episodes entitled Choose It or Lose It and At the End of the Fray will complete the Home League and prepare viewers for the upcoming Kanto Battle Frontiers storyline. The episodes will air at 10 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Kids WB. In addition, Canadian television network YTV will air Pacific Log Jam, the last of the three episodes skipped by Kids WB. The episode is scheduled to air on Saturday, March 25th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Finally, the Right Stuff website has listed an entry for the second Pokemon Advanced box set. The three-disc set will contain the remaining 20 episodes of the Advanced season and will be available August 22nd, 2006. The set will retail for $39.98.
Our main topic this week is a discussion of all our favorite episodes from the Pokemon dub, from the very beginning up until the most recent episodes. First up, we have one of BGT's picks, the first episode, Pokemon, I Choose You.
Well, this is my favorite episode, more for the most part, because, I mean, this is the first time you get to meet Ash, and you get introduced to the whole Pokemon fandom. And where, I mean, the best part that I liked is when he's standing there and he's holding that clock that resembles a Pokeball, and he's watching TV and it shows part of the Game Boy intro. And if you've ever played the Game Boy game before, that basically you could relate to that. And I mean, it just is kind of exciting. And how he starts off on an adventure and is about to obtain his first Pokemon, and that's why this is one of my top picks.
Next is one of my favorites, which is also an early episode. I think nobody is surprised when I say that one of my first episodes was the fifth episode, Showdown in Pewter City, which was the introduction of Brock. You really gotta love these episodes that introduce the characters for the first time. I remember watching a lot of the early episodes a lot, so a lot of those ones stick out in my mind as some of the best, even though there are some pretty high quality ones that have come in later seasons, as we'll discuss later. Showdown in Pewter City, it not only gave us the first look at Brock and all the great things about him, except for, well, the girl craziness, which came later, but we got to see him as a great battler and a great big brother to all his little brothers and sisters. It also, however, gave us a really good look at Ash, the hero, because up until this point, what we see of Ash is mostly him battling with other trainers, and he shows that he cares about Pokemon in smaller ways. For instance, his freaking out over Pikachu when it sacrifices itself for him, nearly sacrifices himself for him. It didn't actually die, of course. But and what he does for Metapod to save it from the Kakuna and Beedrill. But in this episode, we see him hold back from going overboard, complete taking advantage of the sprinkler system going off and completely frying the Onix. Partially because he really cares about Pokemon. And partially because he cares about honor, because he doesn't want a cheesy win like that. It gives us a lot to think about Ash's character. He's not just someone who's like, oh, I want to get everything. I want to be the best character ever. He does have a deeper side that we don't really see that often. And so I just thought it was really wonderful when Brock decided that, you know what? Ash is right. There are some things that matter more than just having your Pokemon beat the snot out of all the other Pokemon. And Brock respects that. Ash respects that. And on top of that, it really gives us a good setup for the friendship between Ash and Brock, because I think Brock is the only character who joined the group without just inviting himself, basically. He actually asked Ash if he could come along, and of course Ash is like, hey, sure, you're awesome, let's go. In summary, I think this showed us a lot of the good side of both Ash and Brock. It really set them up as characters very well, and it set up their friendship very well too. And as we've seen many times, it grows to be a very strong friendship between them. And I think it's probably stronger than any other friendship in the series, even Ash and Misty. The next episode to be discussed is another one of BGT's favorites, the 15th episode, Battle Aboard the St. Anne.
I like this episode also for the main part that, in this episode, this is when he trades his Butterfree for Eradicate, if I'm correct. And with that, you see when Team Rocket attacks the ship and everything that, when he goes to grab first Pokeball to release Butterfree, notices it isn't there. So the main part I liked about that is how Ash actually showed a caring for his former Pokemon and went back to question the man and re-asked to trade back for his former Pokemon, which shows that he has a deeper relationship with this Pokemon than just, I want to have these Pokemon for power and that's it. And the other main aspect I like of the episode is that this is probably one of the main episodes in Kanto, at least in the beginning, where actually Team Rocket comes out and they have a major plan. And one other part I like really in conclusion to this episode is how all the trainers were teamed up together to take on the villains, i.e. Team Rocket. And that's one of the aspects I also liked, how everyone was trying to protect everybody's Pokemon from being stolen. And that's mainly the reasons why Battle Aboard the St. Anne would be my second favorite pick.
The next episode is my second favorite, which is episode 31, Dig Those Diglett. Now, some of you might be wondering, what's so special about this episode? Well, first off, we do see Jesse and James' main Pokemon until they got them replaced with Seviper and Cacnea. Their main Pokemon, Ekans and Koffing, become Arbok and Weezing. And Arbok is one of my favorite Pokemon. It really touched me, in fact, to see these Pokemon out of nowhere start evolving because their trainers were crying. That's a really deep connection, and one that you wouldn't expect between what is considered a villain character and their Pokemon. And yet, Team Rocket has shown themselves again and again to really be close to their Pokemon. But what I really like about this episode is that, well, I'm an environmentalist, and this really is a problem in the world. There are a lot of dams out there that will flood mountainsides and dry up rivers downstream. They're not as environmentally friendly as they might seem, just because they don't spew a lot of pollutants into the air. But here we have a really strong environmental message that these Diglets are like, hey, don't flood our home just because you want another dam. We need those trees. And so it really just touched me. In fact, I took an AP environmental science course, and one of the big issues that they addressed when they were talking about sources of energy is that these dams are causing a lot of trouble out there in the world. And when I took the course, I was with one of my greatest friends and my sister, both of which who are big Pokemon fans as well, and we just looked at each other and we're like, the Diglett were right. There was also a very nice appearance by Gary in the episode, and as the cheerleaders say, Gary, Gary, he's the best, and whatever. So, after this is my third favorite episode, episode 45, The Song of Jigglypuff. Ah, Jigglypuff. Up until the AG season, Jigglypuff was, I think we all agree that Jigglypuff was an awesome character, and Jigglypuff is one of my favorite characters, probably close to being up there with Brock. And I just really loved this episode. It showed us a lot of great sides of the different characters, like Brock's knowing that the fruit would be able to help the Jigglypuff's voice, Misty's caring about the Jigglypuff and trying to help it sing, and quite frankly, it was just really, really funny to see Jigglypuff put an entire city to sleep and then run around with the marker drawing on everybody's faces. It really made me care about Jigglypuff a lot as a character at first, both for amusement purposes and his devotion to find that one person who could listen to it sing. It was a very nice, very amusing episode, and quite frankly, it really disappoints me that Jigglypuff's not a major character anymore, because this was only one of the great episodes of Jigglypuff. I mean, there's many others that I could mention and put on my list if I can make it 5 pages long. This will be one of the episodes that I'll always remember as just an episode I loved seeing when it first aired on KISS-WB, since my other favorite episodes were ones that I watched over and over again when they were airing on the UPN after school. So, that's it for our favorites from the Kanto season. The next one is the only favorites picked from the Johto season, episode 243. Pokemon trainer Lisa's favorite Hocus Pokemon.
Well, basically, I like this episode for a lot of reasons. One of them, is that I believe that this was a very funny episode. It seemed to have a lot of comedy in it, because it, as a filler episode, it just seemed to be so interesting with the Pokemon magician Lily and how she wanted to complete this Pokemon mind reading spell. But the main reason why I like this episode so much is because of the ending where Ash gets turned into a Pikachu. I think that was really unique. It was a very good idea that the writers had, and I really do wish they could have improvised on that more and instead of changing him back for the next episode, they should have kept him a Pikachu the whole entire time. It would have been so interesting. Ash could have blasted Team Rocket off himself. It would have been really interesting. And I just think that they could have done so much with that storyline. It's kind of a shame that they made him change back so quickly. He made an adorable little Pikachu.
Now we get into our favorites from the Pokemon Advance season, starting with episode 17, one of Dogasu's favorites, Stairway to Devon.
Stairway to Devon, for me, was a good example of the show trying to improve itself after the sort of mess that was Johto. It was an episode that had Max running around trying to fix his PokéNav, and it had a location from the video game, the Devon Corporation, which was interesting because Panto, they completely skipped over the whole Sylph company. And it was also great to see Team Aqua appear, and because we had seen Team Magma back in the second episode, and now we got to see Team Aqua, so it kind of showed us that, you know, at this point in the anime, we don't know really, you know, is the anime going to favor Ruby over Sapphire, and with this one, we get, no, they're actually going to show both teams. So we get to see them, the bad guys get away, which was a nice change of pace. We got that with Team Magma again, but to see it with Team Aqua was, I thought it was pretty cool, and I just thought it was just a good episode altogether.
After that, we have another one of BGT's favorites, episode 44 of the Pokemon Advance series, The Princess and the Togepi.
Alright, basically this is one of my favorites, or at least my third favorite, mainly because they bring Misty back into the whole scene, and, well, for the main part, she's a little bit more anime than what she was in the Kanto region, but besides that, you also get to see Togepi and all that, and, I mean, for the fans of Kanto, I mean, that just brings back memories of the old trio, and basically I also liked how, instead of the normal episode where Ash runs into somebody that's distressed, etc., and they just help them out, and that's it. It more or less went away from that and went to sort of, I don't know how to say, a different aspect where basically they go to a different area, which, and you, I mean, you get to see Togepi come back to the scene, even if it was for one day. And that's mainly the main reason I liked that episode, because they brought Misty back into the scene, and at least you got to see her for one episode in Pokemon Advanced.
Now, I have something to say about that. She did come back for two episodes, but then she just left on her merry way, and we haven't seen her since on the dub anyway.
All right, so after this, we have another favorite of Pokemon trainer, Lisa. Episode 75 of Pokemon Advance, Whiscash and Ash.
Basically, I like Whiscash and Ash because Ash's badges get taken away from him, and this time a giant Whiscash comes up and it swallows Ash's badge case, so he has to get it back. And I also like the character of the day, Sullivan. He seemed really cool and everything. I like how he taught the group how to fish and stuff like that. The Pokemon lures that he had, that he used and everything, and they were really cute, and I thought it was kind of interesting how the writers try to make Ash brown again, because, like, one of the things that has happened a lot in the series is, like, Ash, they try to make Ash drown sometimes. That's happened a lot over the series. This was just basically a good episode because it just showed really how much Ash cared for his badges and stuff, and that he really would do anything to get them back.
Moving right along, the next episode to be discussed is another favorite of Pokemon trainer Lisa, the 89th episode of Pokemon Advanced, A Scared to Remember.
Scared to Remember is one of my favorite episodes because, like my other favorites, it's also a filler episode, but it brings another unique idea to the series, because Pikachu winds up with amnesia. And so for most of the episode, Pikachu is with Meowth, and Meowth tells a lot of weird, funny things, and I kind of thought that whole thing was kind of funny. And then there was a lot of dramatic parts in the episode too, especially when, like, Ash first found out that Pikachu had amnesia. That was really dramatic because this is the first real time where Team Rocket, they've almost stole Pikachu, because Meowth had told it all those things, and in order for it to think that it was a member of Team Rocket. So, I think Pikachu was really confused by that, because Ash was trying to get Pikachu to remember that it belonged to him. But it was also a good episode because there was a song that was that I guess 4Kids added in the dub version, and I thought that was a neat little song. And of course with the flashback and everything, and then I just thought it was really sweet how as soon as Ash woke up after he woke up and everything, he saw Pikachu there, and Pikachu had remembered him. It was just so sweet and beautiful. And that's basically it.
Now we have the 104th episode of Pokemon Advance, one of Dugasu's favorite, A Cacturn for the Worse.
I like this episode a lot because it really put to rest a lot of fans' fears about the fate of Harley. After the Legend of Thunder and what happened with how that was dubbed, a lot of people were really concerned about how Harley would turn out. Would he remain a man? Would he get would his name get changed to something different that fans were so used to calling him Harley? Would they change his name? Would they try to tone down his, I don't know, flamboyantness, I guess, in any way? And they didn't. 4Kids really stepped it up on this episode, and he kept the name, he has an appropriate voice, they didn't tone down anything about the character, and they just generally did a good job. And it really feels like, when you watch the episode, it really feels like they tried their best to please the fans, and which was, I thought was just an amazing thing they did. So.
And our last episode is another favorite of Dogasu, the 105th episode of Pokemon Advance, Claydol, Big and Tall.
Now, this is a funny episode in any language you watch it, Japanese, English, whatever. But in my opinion, the English version is actually funnier than the Japanese version, which is not something I would really say a lot, because I'm kind of when I watch anime, I'm kind of like the purest subtitle geek. And, to say that, oh, the dub version did something better, that's kind of blasphemy. But in this case, I have to say it, because there are a lot of instances in this episode where the dub scriptwriters just took the chance to maybe ad-lib certain lines that just work so much better than they did in Japanese. An example I'm thinking of is when Ash and James dress up as eggplants, and they're trying to get the giant clay doll's attention because they think it likes eggplants. And in the Japanese version, it's kind of funny because you have the visuals of them dressed up as eggplants, but the dialogue isn't so interesting. They're saying, oh, hello, we're delicious, we're right here, and it's just kind of boring. But in the dub, they have James go on about, oh, we're low in fat, which is something you should really look into, and hey, we're eggplants, we're not two guys in a suit at all. And I mean, it was just funny things like that they did throughout the entire episode, and I just thought it was great. I think it's more fun to watch in English. I mean, yes, the episode did have some weird edits and things like that, but I mean, it was still very enjoyable in English.
Now, before we move on to the next section, I would like to apologize for any voices or anything that you may have heard in the background while we were talking in this last segment. We're still not quite sure what that was, and we're not sure if it's going to go away completely now. We're trying to get rid of the phantom voices, so we would just like to extend our apologies to you, the listeners. Next, we're going to discuss the newest episodes to be released in the dub. Episode 36 and 37 of Pokemon Advance Battle, Shocks and Bonds, and A Judgment Brawl. Now, these are two of the episodes during Ash's competition in the Hoenn League. The first is he goes up against a character who people have noted to look like Harry Potter, but who is actually a conductor, and who makes it very clear through a lot of musical terms that he uses in instructing his Pokemon. And after that, he does the first half of his battle against a trainer named Katie, who is noted for using more strategic attacks than full-on brute force attacks, and also a favorite of Brock because she's female.
Yeah, I really liked the battle between Ash and Katie just because it was very... I mean, it was very different. We got to see Destiny Bond, which I don't think we've ever seen in the anime before. And it was just... I just thought it was an interesting end to the battle. And, you know, I mean, the rest of it was good, too. And I think it was one of the stronger battles of the entire Hoenn League. Mm.
Yeah, I also liked the battle against Katie, and not just because we got a little Brock intro to it with learning about this girl who can play the clarinet and whatnot. I think it's very interesting to see not only a female character in the leagues who's not like a little kid or girly girl. She actually kind of came off as a tomboyish character to me. It's just me, but it's also interesting to see a character who uses different techniques than blast it with this attack and that attack, use hyper beam and blizzard and fire blast and run in and bash it with your head. Now, we saw her using supersonic and Destiny Bomb, as you said, and disable, and quite frankly, I think it caught Ash off guard for her quite a bit because he's used to going up against opponents who are like rawr, bash and smash with brutal techniques.
I mean, the one thing I didn't like about her battling technique is, I mean, mainly how she would, whenever Ash would switch out his Pokemon, she would basically switch hers out for a type that was strong against his. I mean, at least I wanted her to just take him on with whatever Pokemon she had out, instead of changing up so quickly to have the advantage of type advantage.
Yeah, it did come off as a little cowardly, but at the same time, I think it really fit her, the theme of her of actually thinking about what she's doing and trying to get around the try to do things, not just take it head on, try and think out the best route for it.
It also seemed a lot like the games too, because like if you're battling someone in the games, they would naturally switch out as well.
I know, that's one thing that I always notice about anime is that no one really switches out for type advantages, and I think this is one of the first times we see this. And you know, if I was Katie, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
Since the battle with Katie kind of runs into the next episode, I suppose I'll give the summary to that one as well now. In a judgment brawl, Ash finishes his battle with Katie, coming through with a lot of help from Corphish and Grovyle. We also see the end of Morrison's battle against a trainer with a Machoke, and the end of Tyson having his Meowth and Boots, which everybody loves, going up against a Rhydon. After this, we see a montage of the characters enjoying a day off from the tournament, and then we get into the victory round of the tournament, in which Ash gets put against Morrison. Morrison is not happy about this, but we do see the start of their battle anyway.
I think this is the point where we realized that this is the reason Morrison exists, is to fight Ash in the league. We kind of knew this when he showed up, just based on the other leagues and the patterns that they set, that Ash would befriend his rival in the league. And so, I mean, it was kind of not a shock. The you know, May was, when she acts all surprised, oh no, I can't believe they have to fight each other. And I'm sitting there in the audience thinking, well, of course they have to fight each other. That's the whole purpose of his character. And so I wasn't so shocked at all, but, you know, I think it was pretty good. I think maybe they could have spent more time with the day off, and maybe, I don't know, more than just a little montage, but, I mean, it was good, and I liked how, you know, Morrison was hesitating about battling his friend, because I really don't think we'd seen that before.
I also liked the fact that Morrison was the one upset about battling Ash, because it really stood as a striking contrast to the Indigo League, where it was Ash who was upset about battling Richie. Here we get to see Ash on the other side, matured to the point where he can see things through Richie's philosophy, where battling among friends is okay, that you still could still respect the friend even after you battle, even while and after you battle them. You don't have to be an enemy of someone to battle them. Morrison, on the other hand, has shown himself to be a little less mature than Ash in a lot of regards, such as his large amount of naivety about how a league is run and other such things. And so we get to see Ash putting himself in the more mature role of wanting to do the best in his battle and enjoying it, even though it means fighting a friend.
I mainly think that even though they are friends, I think if it's your liege Max, I think you should give it up your all, even if they are your friend, because I mean friendship is going to last longer than just a liege tournament. Over that, and I think that if you don't give it your all, then more or less you may be dishonoring your friend or etc.
Exactly.
But I just think the dilemma is more of, well, do I be a friend and, you know, let my friend win so that he can continue? You know, because, you know, that might be seen as selfish to try to take the title yourself, or, you know, it's just kind of, I mean, I do think that you should try to give it your all, but I think, you know, Morrison is, you know, how old is Morrison? You know, maybe he's close to Ash's age, we don't really know, but one can assume that, you know, maybe he's just, I mean, maybe this is a lot harder, for him than, you know, it would be for us, and, you know, he doesn't want to hurt his friend.
Well, Ash has been through the situation more than once, so.
Oh, yeah. And in the first situation, he was the one acting like Morrison, being torn up by the idea of fighting Richie and being kind of emo when he lost to Richie.
Yeah.
We all remember that. The day Ash was emo.
I just think that, you know, yeah, he was acting upset. I think Veronica Taylor could do a better job of acting upset than Sean Schimmel was doing now, because I'm not a fan of Morrison's tough voice, and hearing him cry was kind of painful to me.
I can really relate to that, because I can understand that, because, like, you know, if you have this a really good friend and you're their rival and everything, and you wouldn't really want to hurt their Pokemon, would you? So I can see why he would be afraid to battle Ash. Because when he had his Metagross and he had it to try to attack that tree, he saw an image of Ash in front of the tree, so he couldn't attack it. He couldn't bring himself to do that.
Yeah, whatever character holds back, it usually kind of shows that they care about more. Like, getting back to the section before this, when I was talking about Showdown in Peter City, if you remember, Brock called off his attack because he didn't like seeing Pokemon hurt. Here, Morrison calls off his attack because he doesn't want to see Ash's Pokemon hurt or see Ash lose. It is very powerful whenever a character decides to hold back, because this show is a lot about striving so hard, not letting anything keep you down and keep you from victory.
I mean, Morrison realizes that if he defeats Ash, then he will watch him. If you watch him lose, he will watch him be eliminated from the tournament, and he'll watch him lose his chance to earn something that he knows very much that he wants. And so he's like, maybe I don't want to do this. And it's kind of, you know, it's a tough conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll see how it turns out next week.
Yes, some of us already know, but that's because we're cheaters who watch the Japanese Raws.
Yeah, I was just gonna add to that mainly, I think the better thing is, as you said in Pewter City, that, I mean, they don't like seeing the Pokemon hurt, and I mean, I guess in the end aspect, Morrison is more or less caring about his friends, even though he does want to win. He more or less is caring about his friends and caring about just winning a title.
And that's actually a pretty good message, because Pokemon does, like I just said, Pokemon does focus a lot on doing whatever it takes and working hard and earning your victory.
Right.
But there's also a strong note of caring about others, your friends, your about animals, about even about the environment, going back to the back section when I was gushing about those Diglett. It really, it's about aiming high, but also caring about others. Caring about your, it's kind of two things going along together. And so this kind of focuses more on that other message about caring about others, your friends, people who are close to you, and then the do whatever it takes to win thing. It's kind of interesting whenever they go back and forth between those themes. And it kind of makes you wonder which one of them is more important. And I think in the end, in both in the dub and the raw, it's usually the friends that are more important than victory.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the things I really like about Pokemon is how they really try to get to your emotions.
Oh yeah. So now, one of the things that we want to do with this English edition of the Bulbacast is we want to answer your questions just like they do in the normal Bulbacast, but we understand that some of you can't make it on, don't have microphones or don't have Skype or can't make it on when we're Bulbacasting, and some of you don't really want to go on IRC to try and catch us that way. So we're providing you a way that you can give us your questions at any time and we can answer them on the air of the Bulbacast. Send your questions in email to bulbacast@bulbagarden.net. We ask that you only give us one question for email, though, because we don't really want to get flooded by your questions, sorry.
We want to cover as many people's.
But that email address again is bulbacast@bulbagarden.net. Write it down. On behalf of myself, Dogasu, Pokemon Trainer Lisa, BGT, and our recorder, TSS Killer, we'd like to thank you for listening, and hope that you'll listen again next week. Until then, see you!